Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. Oh, it's already devolved.
Just missed the best conversation.
Yes, great. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable, to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We have a lot to discuss. There was some good stuff on last night, so we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then, of course, we'll remind you of how you can be a part of our panel because... What, Rosemary?
We love your letters.
That's right. WAMC.org/... roundtable at WAMC.org, right?
Yes. Right.
All right. Alan Chartok is here working hard on his device. Good morning, sir.
I'm just trying to make sure we get it all in.
That's right. We'll get it all in.
You know, we will. No more to be said. Rosemary, what do you have in your hand?
I can't tell. Okay. I'll tell you during the break.
Excellent.
You thought we couldn't get worse than we just were all
day.
No,
yeah. I know. Well, he did. He did. He did.
He
did
always
a good job.
Does that. He slips it in.
Rosemary, our moment of silence. Okay. Rosemary Armeo is with us. She is the director of the journalism department at the University at Albany, and we're thrilled to have her here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thrilled,
Rich Honan, a lot of people have been asking where Rich has been, and now that the track is closed, Rich will be here more often, and it's very nice to have you here.
It's great to be back.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us. We welcome you, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay. So last night there was a forum. It was on MSNBC. It was a forum. It was hosted by Matt Lauer of NBC's Today Show, who is getting high marks this morning.
We just roasted him on the Media Project that airs this weekend.
So we'll talk about that. And he spoke both with Hillary, not together, but both with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I don't really know. I guess the point of the exercise was who. About being commander in chief, it was done on the Intrepid. There were veterans there in the audience. Those were the men and women who were asking the questions to the candidates, a mix of both Democrats and Republicans, and a lot came out of it. Except, I'm not sure what was supposed to come out of it came out of it, but a lot came out of it. Do we want to begin with just overall impressions of what you thought of the event and how the two candidates came out of it?
Well, I already know how Rosemary thinks about this because, as she said, we discussed this on the Media Project.
Just watch your hand there.
Oh, yeah. Already, yeah. Thank
but
you
we don't know.
No, and that's why
I'll
I'm going to say, let's hear from Rosemary.
Okay, Alan made a point on the Media Project, which bears repeating, that we got a glimpse of what's going to happen on the debates.
Absolutely.
And many people, including myself, said Hillary will kill him, and now we are not so sure. She came off as peeved. As frustrated, and she had a right to be, but the questioning by Matt Lauer was obnoxious to her, and she showed that. That does not play well. Trump, on the other hand, was vacuous, doubled down on ridiculous comments he's made in the past that he ought to be changing now, such as the high incidence of rape in the military has to do with mixing men and women. Like, yeah, this happens all over the place when we mix men and women, and he did not. However, he did come off far better than I as a Hillary supporter wish he had.
I agree. I think that I thought that he came off far better than I would have
yep.
thought. However, I thought she did a very good job given what we have seen of her in the past, given the concerns I know we're going to talk about the appearance here and of course, and I agree with you. The answers were long. They were hard to follow if you weren't in the know in many cases. They certainly weren't soundbite worthy.
Right.
But as far as answering the question,
she knows her stuff, but people don't care about that, Joe.
I know, but I thought as far as, because we've talked about in this program many times about the email issue and not having a good answer, I thought she had good answers last night.
She's been practicing.
Well, you know, the problem is that what the Republicans are doing to her is what they did to John Kerry. They just say something, no matter how crazy it is about, you know, the Swift boat and all the rest, and they say it over and over and over and over
and
again.
And they just repeat it.
And most of the people in this country do not really follow any of it. They don't know the substance of it. And therefore, after a while, they begin to say, I don't like her answers on the email. So the other thing about Hillary and the email is, long ago, in a different place, in a different constellation, she apologized for the
Last night.
Here's the other thing. The best defense she had came out after the commander-in-chief presentation when her campaign released an email exchange. Colin Powell did tell her exactly what she said he did, that, hey, I've used private sources. Go ahead. It's a good idea. That helped. And also—
Where was that 6 months ago?
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other thing. The FBI, the newly leaked, newly found emails, and, oh, there's another Benghazi thing in it. The Benghazi message that was released came out yesterday, and it showed it was a congressman talking about what a great job she did explaining herself in front of Congress.
I want to talk about—
There's nothing there.
We'll talk about the Comey remarks, too, yesterday that came out, which I was surprised did not come out last night. Rich, your thoughts.
So, Rosemary, let me ask, and this is not a setup. I'm really asking. I think it looks like both in this forum and in the debates, the question is going to be who lost. Right?
Who lost the debate?
Right? I mean,
Here's the thing. It's going to be much easier for Trump to win because we expect so little from him. Hillary, on the other hand, we have built her up. I built her up myself. That's why I think she did poorly last night. I expected her better. She cannot look peeved. She has to patiently answer the same questions over and over again.
Well,
She tried to, and I think she's done better. I definitely think she's been practicing.
I'd like to hear a little bit more from Rich on this.
I agree. Yeah.
I thought that he did less bad than she did, I guess is the best way to say it. You're right on the substance. You know, his job seemed to be he would avoid substance for the most part. He would avoid gaffes to the extent he could. I think the signal he showed to his supporters and to the undecided Republicans, not the general undecided, was I think the signal was. Yeah, you know, I can follow instructions if I need to, because obviously his instructions were, you know, don't venture into substance and let her defend her record. And so to that extent, I think he showed some things to the people who want to vote for him but can't bring themselves to do it.
He got a big assist, I will say. I agree with you. Yeah. And he did not do poorly. But he got a big assist from Matt Lauer, who asked him very easy questions like, did you hear anything in the security briefing that alarmed you? Come on. Softball question. And when he said, I have never been in favor of the Iraq war while she voted for it, that's been debunked over and over again. Lauer never held him to account.
It was debunked earlier in the program.
Absolutely.
I thought Lauer hit him pretty well on the general's question. He asked him several times, and then this was the question about, you know, do you really know more about ISIS than the generals?
Yeah, that was good.
But Trump, you know, filibustered his way out of it, right?
Yes.
And ended up with, you know, the remark that comes out of it is, you know, our generals have been turned into rubble, you know?
That and I'm going to get all new generals, which of course is also untrue. It doesn't work that way.
But. Well, and haven't you? Don't you have the list in your pocket of the generals to support you? Like, I didn't understand that either. So, all right. You were talking about the assist that he got from.
Lauer.
You mean the repeated questioning on the email?
I don't.
Oh, you're saying the assist to Trump?
He did not interview them equally, which is I think is. Totally required when you're doing a program like that or moderating a debate. She got hard questions on email. I don't object to that, but why didn't he get hard questions on, say, taxes or soft bribery to the attorney general in Florida? If they're related, Lauer could have made a connection there. It's about judgment. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is he did not hold him to account when he lied. And the third thing, and this maybe I mentioned this on the Media Project, is more apparent to women, but my journalism friends were all saying, why is he interrupting her over and over again? And he never did to Trump. And I didn't notice it at first because Trump speaks short. She has long, like I do, long, involved answers. But Lauer, even when she got great questions, which she did from the audience, he would say, answer it as quick as you can. We got to move on.
The other thing I noticed, too, is that and this won't work so well on the radio, but when he interrupted her, he just would go in and interrupt her. Whereas when he interrupted him, he would often put his hand out to just
like
say,
a warning, I'm going to do this.
By the way.
Do this. Well,
and,
yes.
and I saw that as a big. I noticed that instantly.
I think Rosemary's point is very well taken, which is he loves to answer with things like, "Are you sure you can handle this 100%?" That's it. That's his answer, 100%.
Yeah, but that's again, I think I agree with you, but I think it shows he listened to some instruction because because you said his answers were short, and look, he is not a short answer guy, right?
No. I mean, he
goes all the way around the barn and comes back. The hand up, that's a technique. Yeah, look, that's something they teach you, when you're cross examining witnesses and somebody's about to say something or is saying something you don't want anybody to hear. It's amazing. You just put your hand up and people stop.
That's interesting.
Use that a lot in court.
I think the effect of the new campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, has become very apparent in the last week. He is sticking to message. He is reading off the teleprompter, which he was a jerk not to do long ago. He is now. And his answer, he was prepared for last night.
He was prepared for last night.
Were you not surprised that it was surprising to me that she got so visibly peeved?
I mentioned that. She can't do that. She can't do that. And she's done it before. And I understand the impulse. I was annoyed by it. It's like, okay, let's talk about some other stuff.
I watched that twice. I didn't get that vibe that she was peeved. But maybe I'm just used to it.
She's done it before on the email question. It makes her look guilty.
She does it when people question her. Look, the famous one in front of the Benghazi committee, is probably the best example. But
there is that era of, I'm the smartest person in the room. But she is.
She is, but she's still, maybe you can address this. She thinks like a lawyer. She doesn't give the human answer. She gives a very legalistic answer.
True.
And that is not sympathetic.
I think she thinks like an ineffective lawyer. On what do you base that she's the smartest person in the room, Joe?
She is.
I'm going back to the idea that you have someone who, when we talk about the qualifications for President of the United States, of saying that she is very, very qualified for that office, when she was talking about her experiences, not what she would do, not that she would make America great again, not that she would do whatever in the one sound bites of actually giving substantive things that she had done in the past that she showed off her experience. I looked this leader in the eye. I did this. I did that. And that to me comes off much. I mean, as far as experience and intelligence on those particular issues, yes, I stand by that.
Well, I don't see it. I certainly see that she.
You don't think she has that experience?
I think she certainly has the experience. I think she certainly, if we were giving a multiple choice test, I'm sure she knows a lot more about foreign policy and about foreign governments than Donald Trump or anybody else.
Or Matt Lauer, and that's basically what I was saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the room.
Yeah.
But that's her job. I mean, but in a way, that's her conundrum, right? The problem is that, so knowing all this, and with all that experience, and with all that knowledge, this was still the chain of decisions that you made. And I think that, if Trump's going to be successful, that's what he's going to
hang around her neck. Well, Trump is on the outside. He can say anything he wants about somebody who's had to do the work.
Yeah.
And he is saying anything he wants to say.
As Obama could have in 2008, and it worked very well.
And she has a conundrum, too. She's a female. And as a result of that, if she sounds like, she's getting too emotional or she's getting in their faces,
correct,
somebody's going to yell at her that, that's inappropriate.
Correct.
And if she sounds boring and competent, they don't like that either.
Yep.
So this is a terrible situation for her to be in.
It is. I mean, Trump can pull off peeved. It's kind of entertaining when he's annoyed. When Hillary does it, it's uniformly bad. And she knows that. She knows that.
Yes and no. When she cried a while back.
That's not peeved. That's showing softness.
It was good. People liked it.
Yeah.
In that particular case.
Even Obama cried. And Obama's made it safe for men to cry. So I don't know. We are crazy as voters, aren't we? That we want strong people, but they have to be emotion and show humanness too. I don't know.
Well, don't you think, Rosemary?
Is that really that much to ask? That's what we kind of ask of all our relationships.
No, it isn't. It's performance. There's a whole lot of political theater. And so, no, it isn't real. And they read lines that have been vetted and thought up and honed.
Some of them do. It's not real.
So do you think we're going to elect a president based
Trump
on performance?
Trump does too.
Rosemary, do you think we're going to elect a president based on performance?
No, we never do. I don't know what we base it on. My mother voted for John Kennedy because he had a great smile and nice hair. There's no accounting for what voters see.
I think performance becomes very important in what we do, and I think that's why Donald Trump is doing so well. Because
I see your point.
Because
right.
he's, you know, a blusterer, 100%, day one, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you're exactly right. You put him on television for 30 minutes to entertain an audience. That's what he's good at, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what he has made part of that, of his brand, is doing just that.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a performer in many regards.
I'll go back to it. It's hard to know what people want. If you even look at the polls, which I mostly discredit, Hillary Clinton was extremely popular at the time she was leaving office. How did she go from 60 to whatever it is now, one of the most hated candidates ever?
an interesting question.
She's the same person. She hasn't done new things since then. It's about performance. It's about branding by the other person. It's about the effectiveness of the other candidate. Campaign.
I also think that she has gotten you might know I'm not a big fan of hers, but I think she has gotten tagged for some what I consider to be some missteps in the Obama administration
and the Clinton administration.
but certainly in the Obama administration, I think she's gotten tagged for some things that were not. That were not her responsibility.
Not her purview at all.
And I think Benghazi, believe it or not, I think that's one of them. Mm-hmm. It's funny how that whole controversy shifted from where was Obama to where was Hillary.
Exactly.
So she's absorbed the brunt of that.
Yeah. Maybe and the more same thing, she's responsible for NAFTA.
I'm going to hold you there. We have a ton of letters. We're going to get to those, and we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your input, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan make up the panel this morning. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Nice to have you with us. Alan and Rosemary and Rich are all here, and we're going to go to the letters and hear what you have to say about the forum last night and the coverage that it was given.
I'll go as fast as I possibly can to get as many in. Jill writes, Hillary's performance last night, one, I feel her style and temperament is the same as it was when she ran against Obama? Why did no one criticize her style of answering questions back then?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
That's why she lost the election.
Lost. Yeah. Kind of a big criticism.
Two, I don't blame her for getting peeved at all the constant email questions and then some more, but I want to get to everybody. Dear hosts, are we to think that coverage of this presidential election is even-handed? Last evening was a profound indictment of the Fourth Estate. How can we believe anything anyone says when the moderator is clueless?
Can I just jump in on that real quick?
Sure.
So Matt Lauer is the host of the Today Show, formerly with MTV. He is not a political journalist. And so was it even fair for him to be in that role?
Well, I don't know what a political journalist is. I mean, I think...
Well, somebody who...
Well, he interviews political people on the Today Show.
He's not like Candy Crowley or George Will or...
Well, or even Chuck Todd within their own stable.
Yeah. Some of the worst journalists, the most disgusting, awful people...
Cokie Roberts.
Will say,
a woman
this
moderator.
One's not a journalist, and that's not... And they put out this poison venom, you know, I mean, so...
Well, I understand your point. Yeah. I mean, there's an elitism there, and I understand that. But I'm talking about being, if you are a network and you want to put the best face on it and have someone who does a substantive interview, was he your guy?
Well,
the answer is no.
He was your guy. The point is, I know exactly what happened. NBC said, we want our guy. That's what it was.
But there are women, there are other men who could have done a better job and still have been NBC's guy. They put an entertainment reporter on. Joe, you and I have talked about this.
But
my interview
fighting.
Style is completely different than yours. It's not that one is better than the other, but one is more appropriate for
fighting.
This setting.
For ratings on the Today Show, and that's what it was all about.
Does he have an axe to grind against the Clintons?
No, in fact, he is a supporter. He is accused of being a big supporter of the Clinton Foundation.
I thought
it was overcompensation.
He
may be bending. Okay.
All right.
Let's see. Hillary may be the same person, says Ryan, but people know about her pandering, flip-flopping, and lust for cash. That is why she is more hated. More hated than what?
No, she's not more hated actually. Trump is more hated.
But. Yeah. And then
between the two of them, who has more of a lust for cash? Unclear.
Well, it's
unclear.
Pretty equal because it's hard to judge because Trump has more cash.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Lisa says, hi, Roundtable.
Yeah, real Trumpian. Sorry.
The only reason I shut up when you guys talk because we get a lot of mail saying we should not talk over each other.
I know. It was the same thing that was said last night of people talking over each other. So right. We'll try to avoid it.
No, okay. Hi, Roundtable. Let's remember that the issue with Hillary Clinton is not emails. The issue is the handling, and in this case, the definitive mishandling of classified information. If you don't want to believe it, look up the FBI transcripts or hand it over on Friday between Comey and Clinton. Is very disturbing. Mary says, Rich, welcome back. Denise says, good morning, panel. I disagree that Donald Trump did better than Hillary Clinton. From my point of view, his salivating over Putin, dissing of President Obama, and outright lying about Iraq in his statement about rape in the military added up to yet another failure to show how he would be president. And yet, there were a lot of people who would tell you this debate was at best a tie between everybody. But I think Denise's letter brings up another point, and that is the Putin thing. And I think we ought to talk about that for just a minute. Now we see the Russians hacking into everything that we're looking at, and here is a guy who is running for president of the United States saying Putin is wonderful. He's got an 82% approval rating among his people, and he says good things about me, and I think say good things about him. Does anybody's radar go up?
Does he say good things about him? I thought he said I was. Putin said good things about me, and I'll take
that.
No,
he said he was a very strong leader, better than Obama. He definitely
he is
said
a strong leader.
No, but he also said that Putin
he is a strong leader.
He's a dictator. Yes, he does, and he has an 82% approval rating in a place where he controls the media. And who says what? Yeah, right. He's worthy of.
How is that worse than Obama's off mic? Hot mic statement to Putin at one of the summits, before the last election, saying, listen, after I'll be able to get this done after I get reelected.
Why is that?
That's not kissing up to Putin? Just saying.
No, okay. It's not.
Moving on. Alan's critique of Trump's performance. Trump did not give substantive, germane answers. Rather, characteristically, his knee-jerk reaction of choice was an attempt to denigrate the performance of President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton. He used and apparently got away with a time-worn and particularly important case, very disturbing tactic of diverting attention from oneself to others so as not to have your own self probe too deeply and therefore risk being found wanting. And then we heard from Rick. I believe that Matt Lauer's interview for a position at Trump Media went quite well, don't you?
It's a good one.
It's a good letter.
But Roundtable, I am finding, says Maureen, this incredulous. Why is it that when Hillary or any other woman in a position of power in this country looks strong and presidential, even you, Rosemary, are calling her looking peeved? As a woman, I'm weary of hearing women being dissed for showing strength and substance. And Rosemary, shame on you for your failure to recognize the demeanor of a woman who can and does take charge. Do we call it being peeved when Trump tells Matt Lauer and countless others to shut up and listen to him?
That's unfair.
That's totally wrong.
Well, has anybody
listened? She was strong and presidential, and at times she was peeved. Yes, I can tell the difference.
But you're also sensitive to it as a woman of looking at and of what the perception is going to be.
Exactly.
And I think that's a fair criticism.
I said that I could understand why she was peeved, but she cannot show that.
Yeah, okay. Matt says, dear panel, perhaps a move away from constantly discussing optics and personality and towards policy is warranted.
Yeah, right, because you all pay attention to that. Yeah.
So, as I said on the
meeting. No. Especially this audience would pay attention to that.
No,
they don't. This audience, when do we get the most mail?
Okay, I go on Vox Pop, I talk about Trump every phone.
Yep.
I go on Vox Pop and I say, let's talk about mental health today.
Nothing.
I have to beg somebody to call.
Yeah, but if you could talk about national security, you could talk about
immigration,
you could talk about the economy, and I think this audience would welcome that.
Rich, the other day I gave them a choice. They could talk about the skunk that got caught in my trap the night before, or we could talk about American foreign policy. and at least three quarters of the calls were on skunks. Not that I minded, because I needed all the advice I could get.
You mean the skunk was still in the trap?
No.
No, there actually turned out not to be a skunk.
Oh, my gosh.
So what did you trap?
But
no,
you thought
no, there was,
a skunk.
The skunk let go. The skunk let go. I thought the trap we had outside to get the woodchuck had gotten the skunk. And I was up all night worrying about it.
Did he commit suicide? He let go and slipped the...
He went.
Okay, no, I'm not. Sorry, I'm going to shut up about that.
It was fascinating because even the people who called in with the substantive question, this is to Alan's point to Rich, even the people who called with substantive points said, although I will say this, I'm still more interested in the skunk and the woodchuck.
Okay, all right, well, here's an experiment. Who do you feel is more apt to conduct an effective fight against ISIS after listening to last night's discussion?
Well, she's already said she's... I thought that was a real lapse in judgment when she said, look, no boots on the ground, no ground troops on my watch, period, end of story.
Which, by the way, he said also.
No, he didn't say that.
No, he said we are not going in. I'm not sending troops into Iraq.
Into Iraq, but he also said that he would not send troops in to stabilize Iraq, but he did not discount the possibility of military operations involving ground troops to fight ISIS. And she did, and I thought that was an amazing statement to make. So far, that goes right to her base and nowhere else.
Rich, the first thing he said, and he's been saying it for weeks now, is, you know, I'll defeat ISIS. I'll defeat ISIS. I know how to do it, he says. I'm smart. And I think the word genius may have been used by him. I wouldn't swear to it, but I've read it. But let's face it. If it wasn't a matter of that, he then said last night, well, I'll ask my generals how to do it. Wait a second.
Within 30 days.
Wait a second. If you're so smart, is you're smart that you'll ask your generals how to do it? Is that what
it
is?
He knows more than the generals, although there'll be new generals, he said. So it was a very confused, and he was trying to stick to message, but he answered a few weird things that shows how really disconnected and unthought out it is.
I do have to say, from a substance standpoint, I was surprised that she doubled down on no ground forces, and she doubled down on, you know, the Iran deal was a great deal.
It was, and she was smart not to do ground forces. There's no indication
the
we need them
out
yet.
Great.
It did work out
great.
Their
navy's hassling us every day.
As if they weren't before.
They weren't before.
And they're now being encouraged by Russia.
The incidents have gone up over 50%.
Yeah, you guys are breaking the rules.
All right, so how many letters did we just get? We just had a really substantial discussion about foreign policy. How many letters on that did we just get?
We got a lot of letters.
Can I ask? I want to. New York Magazine did a review.
One, no one reads.
New York? I'm sorry. What is New York?
You've never heard of New York Magazine?
Do you know where Aleppo is?
No, that's a great question, Rich.
But what is New York Magazine?
New York.
That's a great question.
No,
not the New Yorker.
It's a great question because I think his tongue was in his cheek. We used to get New York Magazine. We don't take it anymore. We don't get it anymore. We get the New Yorker, and Roselle reads it to the middle of the night.
Okay. So, yeah. My point being is they reviewed the event last night, and the point of the review of the article is that this particular journalist whose name I don't have in front of me because I can't find it, but I'll get to that point in a second. But the journalist is saying that after years of covering campaigns, he was convinced that Trump could never win. Although after last night, he was thinking that Trump could be our next president. Here's the last line of the article. The average undecided voter is getting snippets of news from television personalities like Matt Lauer, who are failing to convey the fact that the election pits a normal politician with normal political failings against an ignorant, bigoted, pathologically dishonest authoritarian.
Well, that's certainly an objective
objectivity. Who wants to be objective? It does not work in this campaign. We just talked about this in the media project.
But you
also
know what? Even taking that as a true statement,
it's true.
He's right in that. Look, what it comes down to, you know, when all is said and done, is if you like where the country is right now and you're confident with where the country is going, you're going to vote for Hillary. If you're unhappy with where the country is right now and you're unsure about where the country is going, then you're a lot less sure.
Joe, could you read that last sentence one more time?
Yes. I put it on my I put it on my note page because I wanted to keep it. To convey the fact that the election pits a normal politician with normal political failings against an ignorant, bigoted, pathologically dishonest authoritarian.
So, Rich, is your point, which could be made to the followers of Bernie Sanders or to the followers of Donald Trump, which is that we or they are not happy with the existing situation, and therefore, you came across as sounding like it was okay. Okay, that if people were not happy with the way things are, they should vote for the guy who is described, I think, correctly in New York Magazine.
Well, first of all, you're making this. I don't believe that is a correct description of him.
Oh, what Joe read is not correct.
Yeah, ignorant, bigoted, pathological. First of all, I think the more damning indictment is a normal politician. That to me is the most damning indictment.
It's pretty damning.
You point it as either one or the other. You could, for example, be unhappy with where we are now, not sure of the future, but totally convinced that Donald Trump's not the person to lead us someplace else. That would be a third position.
No, I think that's
there are many reasons
I think
not
that's
to
a big
vote
position.
Or to vote for Trump than the one you presented.
Right, and I agree. I think that's the position of many people.
Jonathan Chait was the writer of that, and mm-hmm. he is the senior editor, was senior editor at the New Republican and assistant editor at the American Prospect, and is now a writer for New York Magazine as well as for the Los Angeles mm-hmm. Times. So, okay. Right. For that. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have more letters. We have other topics to discuss. We'll do all of that after the short break.
Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment. EYEDENTITY eyewear, Albany.com. The Mount, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting a poetry reading with Billy Collins on September 9th. EdithWharton.org. Bedard Brothers, featuring 7 brands in 1 Berkshire County location for over 55 years, sales and service of newer certified pre-owned cars or trucks, it's hard to beat Bedard. BedardBrothers.com. And Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck, presenting the workshop Twistings and Forward Bends with Jarvis Chen, Sunday, September 18th, ClearYogaRhinebeck.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan, and a good spirited discussion this morning. Alan, you want to go to some letters? We got some, and then we'll hit some other topics real quick.
We have so many letters.
I know.
And then, I got a letter yesterday saying, you clearly are not looking at my letters. You get 1,000 letters, you read 5, and then somebody is saying, you clearly are doing this. Okay, so one guy who writes this all the time, and who I frankly have real problems with, and he says, once again, you have the idiot Republican, he's not a Republican, by the way, taking up
he's
our
airwaves.
No, I love that. Somebody calls me an idiot Republican, and my response is,
I'm
a Republican.
Saying ridiculous, utterly counterfactual and twisted stuff. But here's what he says at the end, and he said it before. I have turned my radio off in capital letters. Is that what you intended? Wait a second. How many times can you turn your radio off?
I'm sorry. Seriously, what did he say after idiot Republican? What was the substantive criticism?
Take up our airways, not only his, saying ridiculous, utterly counterfactual and twisted stuff, disrupting the usually collegial discussions.
Oh, that's not true.
Derailing any serious attempt to discuss the news and otherwise turning what was once a good program into dreck. I've turned my radio off. Wow. Is that what you intended? I really don't like this letter, and I don't admire the letter writer. Admire is the best I could do.
Yes.
I stand by my statement that I'm not a Republican.
Well, and I also, I don't know.
I think actually I disrupt it more because you just make me so crazy.
And I say this with all honesty. I don't know that this means anything to anybody, and hopefully it means something to you, Rich, but every single panelist who comes on this program and they say, oh, who else is on? And I'll say, Rich is on. They say, oh, great.
Yes,
like everybody,
exactly.
There is
yeah.
a collegiality.
Yes.
Everybody loves Rich when the show. He's sure. very good. He's a,
I actually
he's a great
get
part.
A lot of comment about when are you going to have Rich on again.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, Joseph says, I get the impression that Rich is a Republican. How comfortable do you feel with Donald Trump as your candidate?
I'm not a Republican. I'm not terribly comfortable with Donald Trump as my candidate. If you ask me who of the other 16 I would have picked over him, I'm not after seeing everything I see, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm dismayed, as are others. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm dismayed along with everybody else that these are our two best people, or our two, the two people we're putting forward.
Andy.
But I'm not a Republican.
All right.
Damn it.
Andy says, good morning, Roundtable. Hillary,
your T-shirt.
Oh, by the way, I have to go, when I have to get out of here at the end, because I have to vote for state senator in the state Senate primary.
Oh, that's right. That's today.
And they think at most 8% will turn out, because there's nothing except that.
So you could skew that number.
Well, one guy's going to count for a lot.
Right.
I'll
if you didn't
right
show
now.
Up, you could skew that number.
Okay. So anyway, Andy says, good morning, Roundtable. Hillary won because she can reference sound bites from last night to criticize Trump. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to do it.
Trump is making an obvious gamble that advertising is not as important as it has been in previous campaigns. He's not raised money for it, and where he has raised money, he's not put it into put it into ads. And I think that's one of the things that will bear interesting study on this election.
Well, yes, but I suspect he's saving his energy and his money and his ads till the end.
Well, I think he has less money too.
Well, he does have less money, but he does have a lot. I mean, he claims to have raised $50 million last night alone.
He tends to exaggerate everything by about a factor of three. So,
and that
right?
doesn't bother
so,
you.
Corey,
yeah, it's just, you know.
Corey says, if you were feeling the burn during the primary season, maybe you should try feeling the Johnson in the general.
Maybe Johnson should feel where Aleppo
first
is.
First of all, I don't like how that sounds, so go ahead.
We're back on the theme again. Oh.
I think that was intended in the letter.
Yes, I'm sure.
Oh. To hell with the major parties, Corey. All right.
No, okay, Johnson can you tell them about that? We talked about it, but we
only heard, we didn't, none of us heard him say this.
Okay. No,
we're
reading about it.
So he was on,
Morning Joe.
He was on Morning Joe on MSNBC this morning, and he was their guest.
Who, Trump?
Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were talking about, a question was asked, Mike Barnicle, I believe, asked the question about Aleppo. And he said, I don't know what that is.
He said, what is Aleppo?
What is Aleppo?
What
and
is Aleppo?
Barnacle goes, you're kidding. He goes, no. And he goes, well, it's the city that's the capital of the refugee crisis in Syria. And he goes, oh, yeah, right. Bad.
That
Very
is,
bad.
That's bad.
Does not encourage was me he, to vote for him.
Well, Trump didn't know how many articles of the Constitution there were. Does that count?
Okay, a lot of people don't know that.
How many? I don't know how many articles.
Oh, come on.
How many articles in the Constitution?
No. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. More. Richard says, no talk of Trump's claim for oil. Turning the war into an oil grab is disgusting.
I was going to bring that up, where he said, so if I were there, we would take the oil. So that was a great point for a follow-up question of saying, so how do you do that?
Hey, man, I thought that when we went into Kuwait, I wondered how it was that we were going in to save them from back in the Kuwait war. It's like, we're going to get reimbursed for this, right? I mean, that's not why we went in.
Well,
right? But
the real question is about the American oil companies and their interests is whether they have more in common with Kuwait than they did.
The generals last night doing analysis did actually a good job of that. He said take the oil. He didn't say steal the oil. And why not take money for compensation for what you paid for? I actually agree with that.
James said, I'm unhappy with where the country is now. However, that does not mean I will vote for Trump. Why would I?
That's
what his theory is. If you're happy, you vote for Hillary.
If you're happy, you vote for Hillary. If you're unhappy, you're unhappy. Now, I don't say that means you vote for Trump, but you look...
You're more inclined to.
Well, you're more inclined to maybe overlook some things, but apparently not enough yet, you know?
Hmm. Dear Alan et al., might Putin's objective in meddling in our electronics actually be a matter of his going up against our superior defenses in order to hone his skills to use against adversaries closer to his homeland, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, etc., David? Welcome back, Rich, says Kenny. It must be exhausting that your best argument can be forced equivalencies instead of being able to tout the Republican candidate for president.
You have no idea how exhausting.
I will say,
had he been president the last 8 years, I wouldn't have had to deal with Obamacare, the Iran deal, the rise of ISIS, the breakdown in Syria.
Romney would have fixed all of that.
Joseph says, Lauer bent to Trump and interrupted Clinton? That's okay? No question about Obama and Clinton funding ISIS? You know, there's that thing out there where Clinton invented ISIS or whatever.
Well, that was Trump's thing that, yeah, Obama and Clinton were the founding members of ISIS.
No, they weren't the founders. They just brought them from obscurity to, you know, the world's biggest terrorist group.
Yeah, and their beheading and burning people didn't do it. It was about, they're not as bad as other terrorist groups that we should and have rightly spent more attention on.
Just a lot of grumbling under her breath now. Go ahead, Alan.
Our old friend John Kroll. Didn't John Kroll work here?
John Kroll did work here. He was our Berkshire Bureau chief.
Then he became a city councilman.
He was a politician himself.
Yeah, right. So he says, silly false equivalency on Putin and Obama by the gentleman on your panel. Well, gentleman's a nice word.
There's a lot of gentlemen on this panel.
I will grant you that the equivalency was a tad attenuated.
All right.
I think a lot of people are rushing to their dictionaries to find out what a false equivalency.
But they know what attenuated.
How come
every time you come here we have vocabulary questions? Was it sophisticated? What was the word that stumped us last time?
Oh, it was sophistical.
Not sophist.
It was sophistical, I think.
Yeah, that's
and the writer actually used it correctly, and we dogged him.
Right,
and we were incorrect in doing it. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. One last one, okay?
All right.
Okay, very quickly. You must have watched a different town hall. I think Lauer was the best questioner of the season. He pushed both.
Who was that?
George.
I will say that I didn't think Matt Lauer was as bad as the criticism. Anyway, we're out of time. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back another panel tomorrow. More show after this.